I've been told that we need to be introductions first here in the room, and then we'll move to online. Jamie Housley, Jordan Ramos, chair for about 5 more minutes.
Seth Halling with AKS Engineering.
Dan Weisner, Songbird Homes.
Mike Odrin, Olson Engineering, a division of McKay Sposito.
Sherry Jones, Southwest Washington Contractors Association.
Brent Davis, Clark County Community Development, DEEP Coordinator.
Jeff Riston, Kingston Homes.
Move it to Max.
Max Booth, Community Development, Clark County.
April 1st, Community Development, Clark County.
Noel Levern, BIA of Clark County.
Houston Ajo, Ajo Construction.
Justin Wood, Clark County Association of Realtors.
And then we'll move to those online. Jennifer, maybe, since you're on the screen.
Jennifer Reynolds, Clark County Development Engineering.
Okay, Ted.
Ted Venegas, Clark County Community Development.
Megan.
Megan Fletcher, Clark County Community Development.
Oliver.
Oliver Ojaka, Community Planning, Clark County.
Rod.
Rod Swanson, Clark County Public Works.
And Stephen.
Steve Archer, Clark County Deputy Prosecuting Attorney. Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody that we missed? Hearing none. This is a reminder that the DEEB meeting is being recorded and the audio will be placed on the DEEB website following the meeting. First order of business is to review and adopt the minutes.
Mr. Chair, I have reviewed and move for approval without any changes.
It's been moved. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Riston. Call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes. Brent, upcoming events.
So as of yesterday, the council hasn't updated their online calendar, so they aren't showing what their plans are for the rest next month. Planning Commission also is not conducting any business this month. But a couple of other things. One is we are going to be rotating a DEEB coordinator role at community development, and Megan Fletcher is going to be coordinator for the next period. So she'll be taking over February. And then also just after December meeting, I was supposed to reach out to Rocky Houston with Parks and invite him to come to the meeting to talk about park impact fees and some of those related issues on the work plan. I dropped the ball on that, so that's why he's not on today's agenda, but I did reach out and he is available for February.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Okay, other than that, do we have the DEEB member announcements, which are really picking our chair and co-chair for 2023, and I can hand the baton over. So I'll entertain motions for chair.
I would nominate Seth Halling for chair.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I guess I'll call the question since that's been tradition. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Seth, you are the now the DEEB chair, and I'll let you go ahead and take over and run nominations for vice.
Before you do that, Seth, I'd like to thank Jamie for his second time around as DEEB chair. You've done just a fantastic job once again.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not up there with 9 like Kevin McCarthy or whatever, 9 votes.
All right, with that, I guess we'll open up nominations.
I'll nominate Sherry.
I'll,
I'll second that.
You can respectfully decline, Sherry, too. You don't have to take it.
It's not going to work. Right.
All right. Well, Sherry's been nominated and seconded. Call all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So with that, I guess, is there any other member announcements?
We should recognize that Ryan Wilson and Eric Lamo and Andrew Gunther have arrived.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll move on to the wetland and habitat code updates. Brent?
Yeah, this shouldn't take very long. I just wanted to touch base. So Planning Commission recommended approval of the proposed amendments as presented to them in their November meeting. And we have a work session with council scheduled for the week after next, and then hoping to have it at hearing on February 3rd. There have not been any substantial changes since the draft that you guys have seen. In addition, just a brief summary of the public comment we received. We have not received a huge amount of public comment. The primary gist of the comments have been on one side, the concern that the changes to riparian habitat could have on buildable lands. And then on the other side, primarily Friends of Clark County and FutureWise are concerned that we're not strictly following the best available science recommendations from Department of Fish and Wildlife with non-fish bearing streams. However, Fish and Wildlife is in support of the standards that we have proposed, so they will be commenting to that effect for the record. Any questions?
Thank you. Moving on to the next item.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I would like to, at this time, add an item to the agenda at this time.
Go ahead.
It has to deal with the mixed use, and would like to bring that up at this point. We discussed it last meeting as far as addressing issues, conflicts, other items associated with the Clark County Mixed Use Code, and would like to just have a short discussion about that. As we discussed, as you and I discussed, you've got people in your office who have worked through this before. Sounds like Dan's also had issues with it in the past. And at this time, Andrew, Eric, have you guys worked on any mixed-use projects that you could, you know, have any opinion on as far as the code is concerned?
Do you have specific recommendations?
No, we're just kind of starting this discussion so that we can maybe pick it up on for February or March, so that we can have an open discussion about that with some recommendations from AKS and anybody else. Ryan, have you gone through any mixed use projects in Clark County?
Yeah, although I'm much more familiar with the city of Vancouver's mixed use.
Okay.
But I have
done a mixed use
project.
Okay. So in that regard, do you want to talk to Ryan in your office and have him get going on something and maybe reach out to Dan or Eric or whomever else, and maybe even Ryan, to start a short discussion and get any thoughts about how to, you know, I think what we want to do is we want to bring up any concerns, issues associated with it, and propose solutions so that we can start a discussion with staff and get this on the next biannual code amendment.
In the functions to make it more usable?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's some of the issues where it just conflicts between code or the, you know, the other standards associated with the mixed use. Some of it, I think, is just unintended consequences. For instance, one of them was with regard to fee simple townhome lots and the floor area ratio of 0.5, which essentially restricts you to single story only. I don't think that was the intention of that. So it's just kind of some of those type of cleanup items, which we've got a list already put together. So I think it's more just a matter of coming up with the proposed changes and I guess outlining a little bit more what the impacts are.
Do you think you'd have an opportunity to bring that to the February meeting with a list of discussion items?
Definitely the discussion. I don't know if we'd have, you know, all the proposed changes at that point, but at least for discussion.
I think that that'd be a good starting point, and then maybe follow up in March with some proposed solutions or proposed code language to help staff out.
Sure.
Makes sense.
And we mentioned City of Vancouver, if they have things that they do better or the code's a little bit better, we can compare and contrast those as well to see if we can make some recommendations that are kind of in line. And it helps too when areas are annexed, if they have consistent codes, at least similar. So,
right.
But yeah, if there's a base list we can work off of, I'll send it to my guys too that work on mixed use projects quite a bit and see if they can add to it or if they've had similar experiences.
Yeah. And this was, most of it came from our planners. Just items that came up as they went through a specific project, and you know that one didn't have apartments within it, so there might be items, issues that come up that are associated with apartments in that mixed use. So if there's specific projects that you've dealt with apartments on, that would be helpful.
Thank you. That's all I had on that.
Moving on to the landscape recreation space standards. Mike, do you want to take that?
Yeah. I actually had to prepare a statement for this. So I don't know how many of you know, but the code amendment, or rather the code clarification, has taken on a life of its own. At yesterday's County Council workshop, aided by testimony against the proposed amendment, the council has taken a 180-degree turn from where they were before and have decided to pull this particular item from the biannual code amendments, and they feel it's more of a policy issue that requires it to be a standalone, to where they will discuss this in their own workshops. I imagine that this will, and correct me if I'm wrong, this will go back to PC, if that's the case, if it's a policy item.
So we're trying to work out the details of what that looks like right now. I believe we public noticed for the 17th already.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true, there might be a possibility where it still needs to be on there and they need to rescind it at that point.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Possibly.
So
we're working through the details.
Okay, and you'll let us know when you have, okay.
Yep.
All right, thanks. If this does move forward, and it sounds like it's not going to, the council wants to look at this again, DEEV is an advisory board to the council. And as such, we should be actively involved in any of the work sessions. We don't want our work to be misinterpreted. I think it needs to come straight from us and outside of, and work sessions, and the unique part of this last work session was that they allowed public testimony, which was very unique. Extremely unique. I was there to be to provide technical information, guidance, if you will, should they need it. But there were members of the Friends of Clark County that showed up and requested, as well as someone online that requested that they speak. So we need to be involved, and we would like staff to convey to the council that we need to be involved intimately with any work sessions with staff, in conjunction with staff on any future work sessions on this particular item. Additionally, and I think I speak for DEEV, and we can certainly take a vote on this, but I think we would respectfully request that the council extend The interim ordinance previously and now in effect until this can be resolved. It should be noted that this has taken a considerable amount of time from staff and D members to address this, and we do thank staff for their past and continued work on this. One bit of clarification that happened during the work session was that the county manager mentioned that when the code interpretation came out, that Deeb didn't like it, and others have latched onto that. I want to make clear that it wasn't that Deeb didn't like this current code interpretation. Deeb understood the ramifications and the unintended consequences of this current code interpretation. So I just want to make that clear and go on the record that we don't like or dislike things. We are professionals and we look at it through the lens of meeting not only the zoning code, but also the comprehensive plan and GMA as a whole. Deeb has also encouraged other groups, individuals to come to Deeb meetings to testify, to bring their issues to us, and in an effort to have open discussions and dialogue and to work through any issues that might happen and to participate in the business that we engage in. This was no different than with the Friends of Clark County, who have been active participants in this process and have attended the Planning Commission hearing and the council workshop yesterday. Additionally, we met with them, two individuals, two members, and if they are online today, welcome to the January 2023 meeting of Deeb. We met with them last month in a meeting to attempt to explain our position and understanding, as well as the unintended consequences associated with the current code interpretation. However, I want to go on the record to let everyone know that I have had two very uncomfortable and what I would describe as hostile personal engagements with members of the Friends of Clark County directly related to this issue. One following the Planning Commission hearing and one following the workshop yesterday. I have built a 25-plus year career and a strong work ethic, honesty, professionalism, and integrity, not intimidation and deception, as I have been accused of. Additionally, any attack on my character and my capacity as a member of Deeb, I consider an attack on the character of each and every Deeb member. I also find that any attack by any outside organization as unprofessional at best. As such, our focus should be on educating the County Council on the impacts of the current code interpretation on future development, construction, and housing affordability, meeting the comprehensive plan and GMA density goals, et cetera. At this time, I would like to open this up to an open discussion about our next steps. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Just to kind of add on something you said that I think was a little misrepresented in that I actually heard in an interview with one of the council members, basically they said this was brought up because we didn't like it. And that is completely incorrect. It's not that we don't like it. It's because it's incorrect. It doesn't meet the intent of the code. It's not in line with industry standards. It's not in line with other jurisdictions and how they handle these same thresholds. It's not GMA compliant. It could possibly change the densities and cause additional environmental impacts and urban sprawl by basically taking that density and making it where you have to have more area to fit the same number of units. So it has adverse impacts that the opposition may not understand. And it's inconsistent with past interpretation or application. All projects that I know of in the last 20 plus years followed the previous interpretations. Somehow this came up as that this is a change and that what we're requesting is a change to the existing code. It is not that at all. This is a clarification of an interpretation of a code that was not very well worded, potentially. And it's been interpreted this way for over 20 plus years since I've been reading this code. So it is not what has been, I guess, represented to the council, to the opposition. And it's not because we don't like it. It's because it's not right. And there was other things stated that we do it because we benefit from it. And that's not the case either. We represent clients. We try to come up with the best designs for those clients. We're not benefiting personally from this decision on this code section. It doesn't matter to us financially if they get one more unit, one less unit. It's about trying to come up with the best design that meets the intent of the code. So what has been represented is
Online attendees, can you hear us now?
Yes.
Nobody touch anything. Okay, I'm going to repeat what I said and everybody online can hear.
Correct.
I think I'm going to repeat what I said. So, first I said that Mike being harassed or anyone being harassed or their integrity put into question for this subject is not condoned by me at all. Second, I would say that I still stand by that it's staff's job to present during a work session to the council an unbiased presentation of what they will be approving and what will be changing code. And I would like to know where Deeb thought I misrepresented the council, especially in this latest work session, because I did say, both Ted and I both said, historically, this has been interpreted this way or this has been applied this way. And there were inconsistencies. And I described how the inconsistencies came to the interpretation. And I said in that meeting, I interpret code. It's my job to read it and interpret it. I don't have and didn't insert my personal opinion about it. And I want to clarify, it is a code change because my interpretation is the interpretation of the code. Council can't, I don't mean that, but there isn't a way. My interpretation is Title 40. And so in order to change that, you have to change the code. And that is why I believed that it was a policy change and allowed to be in the biannual code updates because there was historical interpretation. Also, what I said in the work session.
I don't think we take any issue with yours or Ted's presentation at all, or what you said about it. I think what has happened is that it has taken on a life of its own. It has been interpreted as more than a simple Scrivener's error or clarification by others. Policymakers and planning commissioners have latched onto that, and the testimony by Friends of Clark County has gotten them such to look at this in a different way. I think that I think staff has done a great job in trying to explain this. I do think that there has been some discrepancies in what was mentioned, what has been mentioned at various stages along the way. And this is where others have really latched onto this. Will there be a loss of landscaping or will there not be a loss of landscaping?
Ultimately, there could be a loss of landscaping,
right,
but only within the 10% at most.
Right. But in the interpretation of it, and here's what's going to be important, is that now that it's become a policy issue, now we as Deeb, and probably me, and I'm hoping some help, will have to provide to now probably again the Planning Commission and then again the County Council additional information as to why this is no big deal. That nothing is going to change, that it's the same interpretation that has been done the majority of the time, as well as explaining to them that with this current interpretation, the county runs the risk of being, of not meeting their GMA density goals because you cannot build out in the higher densities to the maximum density if you have to have a project that is between 35 and 40% landscaping or recreational space, or the two combined together. The council and the planning commission do not do what we do on a day-to-day basis. We are the experts in this. We live and breathe this. We now have to lay it out in layman's terms in order to do it, and do it in such a way that removes the emotion from it. It has to be very scientific, it has to be very by the book, and it has to be very, very by the code. What is happening is that it's been latched on by others from an emotional standpoint. And that is what has gotten, I think, other people to look at this in a different way. Oh my gosh, yeah, there seems to be a big to-do about this when in actuality what other opponents to this are indicating, it has no basis in science, in reality, in code or whatever. And so what I would suggest, or I might suggest to those that don't like this, prove that we can do this current code interpretation in every single multifamily zone to show that the code can actually work. Because if it can't work, then suddenly we don't meet our GMA goals and the county is in non-compliance.
Two things. If Deeb would have present, I don't think that Deeb presenting with us at the work session would have helped with public perception. And I think that although frustrating, the process is working and how it's supposed to work, which is why there are two public hearings. Yes, public testimony is unusual in a work session, but we also just heard what we're going to hear in a public meeting. And that's why there are four public hearings through the biannual process.
So public perception is something that we should remove from our approach to this and just lay it out based on the code. And show, and here's where I kind of want to start this discussion or continue this discussion, we need to show scientifically that based on a design, apparently the hypothetical case study does not fly with certain groups. I didn't see an issue with that. I can provide you a project that will be submitted before the end of the month that will not meet the code as currently interpreted. R30, and we do not even maximize the density. We need to show that in order for this code to work, that we would need to go to four-story buildings. And the issue associated with that is increased costs, which does not lend itself to housing affordability in order to meet that requirement. And I think that whatever projects may have been approved by keeping those two separate, and I haven't been able to find those yet, but I have the information that they may be four-story projects. And I know the one that's going to be going in north of us can meet the code as currently interpreted with a four-story product. Again, higher end, with elevators, certainly not conducive to housing affordability. And so that is our task, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to present to the council and the planning commission again, potentially, this. Now, my testimony at the planning commission was extremely valuable. It allowed them, except for one, to completely understand what the issue is here. It would be nice to be able to present that kind of testimony at a work session with council. And what it'll probably take is for us to then submit information in advance of that, attend the work session, and only be there if there's any questions about the information Deeb submits.
I believe that you will be able to submit written testimony to the council.
Oh, yeah, we will absolutely be doing that.
So can I jump in here? First thing I want to address is the statement that April you made regarding it's only appropriate for staff to do work sessions. I mean, I know Jeff and I and others in this room have been around here a very long time, and I can recall dozens and dozens of instances where past councils, past county commissions have had individuals from the private sector with subject matter expertise come in and provide that direct give and take with the commissioners. And it's really there as a true work session for them to understand the pragmatic and practical aspects of things. And I think you're hearing some frustration here from some of the members that what we've been talking about for almost a year now, it seems like, is getting filtered through staff and not being represented accurately. And therefore that has the spinning off implications of outside groups accusing D members of nefarious activities, which I think is laughable. And so with a new council being seated with three new members, especially, I think it's important for them, the council maybe, to be reminded of the fact that DEEB is here as an advisory body to the council directly on development related issues. And I can still recall in all my years serving here, you know, we have the once a year opportunity to discuss our work plans with them and have that one-on-one interaction. But we've also had multiple times where the counselors have invited members from this body to also participate in work sessions. Also in the past, members of the council and commission have attended either in person or online various meetings to understand the position. And again, we would invite the council to do that in real time and answer any questions directly there. So moving as a path forward here to be constructive, I would propose a couple of things. One, that we do make a motion, and I'll be happy to make that, to extend the ordinance beyond the end of the month. But secondly, again, draft some sort of statement from this body, I guess to the council, county manager, and to staff, reiterating our position that we are available for work sessions, to have that direct input to the council and address any concerns that you know they may have with policy or technical questions related to the code. On a philosophical basis, Mike, I think you're right on point. We need to provide the math to demonstrate that what this new interpretation is doing doesn't allow you to reach that maximum threshold, which if you can't reach that maximum, why have that as a maximum? It should be lower. And at that point, your code is not consistent with the act, nor internally consistent with your comprehensive plan. So I find that really troubling. I find it really troubling that we also predicate the parks and open space plans on a certain number of acreage per person. And part of that is to attempt to recognize that not every house is going to be a single family home with a yard with the ability for children to play in. And therefore we need to have more public spaces to accommodate for that. If we have this new interpretation that's suggesting that we're going to have those readily on site, then I think we need to revisit that policy, because that has other implications on a land supply issue. I find it also really troubling to me that an organization such as the Friends of Clark County that has vigorously advocated through the legal challenges both to the hearings board and through the courts about expansion of growth boundaries is now on the other side of the case fighting to reduce density effectively within urban growth areas. There's an internal inconsistency there that I find extremely troubling, and I question where that is really coming from. So I guess I'm going to shut up. I would like to make my motion to extend the ordinance or make a recommendation to the council to extend the ordinance, and I'll leave it at that. And good to see you, Terry. Happy New Year.
You
You were also making a motion, though.
I'll make that under separate motion.
Okay.
We probably need clarification of the length of the extension of that ordinance.
Until it's resolved.
Until it's resolved.
I'll second that.
All right. Well, that motion has been made and seconded to recommend to council to extend the ordinance until the issue is resolved. All those in favor signify by voting aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. The second part of my long statement there was for Deeb to send a letter to council, the county manager, and to staff indicating at least historically that Deeb has been available to attend work sessions, to have that direct interaction with council on technical or policy-related matters around land development, because, again, we are the people that are in the field doing it day-to-day. So I will make that motion as well.
Second.
All right.
It would be to send a letter or email from Deeb to inform council, especially with three new members, the county manager, and staff of the historical precedence of Deeb having participated in work sessions and being available in the future.
And I'd just like to add, for discussion purposes, I sat on planning commission for over 18 years. It was up to us, and I think it's definitely up to council to make the decision whether or not it wants to hear from Deeb directly. And what I find shocking is that, Mike, it sounds like you gave a presentation to planning commission, and by the end of the presentation, they understood the issue clearly, all except one. That's their job, and that's the job of the counselors, is to understand and to want to understand. So they can, and especially new counselors, the counselors probably know less than a lot of the planning commissioners. And it's a technical issue that people are struggling with understanding. I'm shocked that it's gotten this convoluted. And to me, it seems like if you can go in there and get the counselors to understand the reality of the impact, then the game's over. I mean, then we're just saving a lot of time by doing it. So I think it's up to the counselors. I mean, the county manager, April, you can't. I think if the counselors want to meet, and they've done it before with us in a work session, they can do it. I don't think there's anything. I mean, we have a prosecutor online, but I don't think there's anything in code that says they can't do it. So,
yeah, we've done it quite a bit historically.
I know we have. I would just, want to make sure that I'm speaking,
I would say more than not, if it's a Deeb issue, our role, we're not the general public. We're experts in a certain field. Unfortunately, a lot of the general public, these are complex issues. There's not that many experts in the community that actually fully understand them. It is our job as a board to educate, and that's why we're an advisory board to the counselors. It's our job to inform them and to help them understand these issues. Now, we can't tell them, they don't have to vote the way we say, but it's our job to advise them on that information. And not being able to do that, I think it does hinder the process, because we can speak in different, I guess, ease or with different kind of wording than staff. And staff should definitely present as well. But one other thing is I want to just kind of mention that this board has always worked very collaboratively with staff, and we've received accolades in the past for doing so. Sometimes we even take a position that we might not, it might not have even been in our, the way that we was in our favor at the beginning, but we worked with staff on a compromise on what actually was with the competing interests, and we helped balance them as a board with staff. And there was some give and take, and we got to a resolution. And I think in this case, it would have been nice to go to staff or to go in with staff. And I think to a point we did that. But again, sometimes the wording and what this actually was, and I guess the way I would have worded is that, that staff understands that this is that staff understands that this was it was discovered that the current cone language is not clear and is inconsistent with past historical interpretation. This clears it up. That was basically the purpose of this. We're not saying that staff's interpretation was wrong. We're saying that the code, it was discovered, even though you get new eyes on something that's been interpreted for 20, 30 years a certain way, and you get new eyes on it, you go, you know what? That's not really that clear. We discovered that. April did a good job discovering that. Our purpose of this was then that if that was her decision, that's fine. We came up with a resolution, which was to bring it to the board. But we should have said just that, that it is inconsistent with past interpretation, and this clarifies it, and it brings the code in line with what we've been doing over historically.
And
it could have been much. Somehow it got blown up. And
I want to just go to bat for staff and just say that is exactly what they have been saying all along. And we do have a motion on the board, on the table, by the way.
All right. Any other discussion with regard to the motion? If not, we'll call a vote. All those in favor, signify by aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Can I make a couple comments?
Yes.
Okay. Clarification for Jeff. Mike was able to present to Planning Commission during public comment.
No, well.
It was public comment.
Okay.
And it would have been, and that would have happened also on the 17th.
But he could also have presented them during a work session if they wanted. My point was,
yeah.
He had an aha moment, which is what people need to understand this issue, apparently, is that someone to break it down to its basic elements so they understand.
We were not made aware of the Planning Commission work session in this instance.
What's that?
We were not made aware of when the work session was for the Planning Commission in this instance.
Yeah, but okay, I appreciate that.
We did public, we did post when we were going to work session about the landscape versus rec space. Another reason why I wanted staff to present, and I did not invite Deeb, even though I let them know twice in two Deeb meetings leading up to this work session, that I did not want to present as a group, was because we do have a different stance. And I don't want to go in front of council and look like we're competing with each other.
So right there, there's a, yeah. You know, at least from my background, Planning Commission or as a developer, home builder, whatever, I don't want to go into any hearing situations and things like that without working with, apparently, if you had a different stance, an opposing party or whatever. So again, I would have encouraged you rather than going in and, you know, presenting one side of the story to have Deeb be able to present, especially in that situation, the other side of the story.
I felt like I did represent the other side of the story, where I felt like we differed and where I didn't want to argue in
did
front
they
of
have
council.
An aha moment? Did they, I mean, it sounds like everything
blew
up.
They
had
the same information.
Well, it sounds like everything blew up because of,
I think
communication
we
issues.
Move on from where we're at and
not
be too concerned about what has already taken place. I think the next step is what we need to do is to come up with a work plan in order to gather the information to present to both Planning Commission and anticipated Planning Commission and again, the council to do that. I do not think we're going to be able to get that taken care of by the 17th. That is when the public hearing for the biannuals is.
They might change the date because they're going to a retreat. So they might push it to the 18th because council is going to a retreat.
Oh, okay. So it might be one extra day.
It might be one extra day.
I still don't think that we're going to be able to hang on a sec. Let me check out a calendar here. Yeah, that's in 2 weeks. We can make our best attempt. I think what we need to do is we need a legal opinion. We need some additional actual projects. I have been going through the information that staff has so generously gathered and provided through the public request portal to see which ones were approved and when and how and everything else. We need someone, and here's the thing, is that I would like, and this should, we might need to discuss this at a future date. I don't want to bring it up now, but for future testimony at planning commissions and councils that, especially for controversial projects that are controversial items that two members of DEEB attend, or that have some other accompanied person with them. I will continue. I have a project that I can present, not meeting the current interpretation. I'll continue to review those that have. I would like to talk with, and I'll just, I think, get with Ted just to see which ones have. Go ahead.
One last announcement. Ted's last day is tomorrow. I have, I'll be the interim land use manager until I find somebody.
Well, you? Okay. I just want to know, in the interest of time, which projects have were approved separately and which ones were approved combined.
If you read through them, which I've read through every single one of them.
Is it clear? It hasn't been clear to me.
There is a planner. It's mostly one, but there is, there are two that will say these are two separate requirements.
Very
they
good.
Say it
That's
in the finding.
Thank you. And then to provide, I guess, in hypothetical case studies apparently don't work for some people and they do for others. I'd really like to take another look at projects that we have all accomplished in Clark County, provide them to me with the calculations on there so that we're able to present that information. That's my ask of anybody here who's done any multifamily projects in Clark County over the last 20 years.
Here's one challenge with that is we're trying to make a scientific argument on something that's not scientific. This is an interpretation difference and a difference of opinion. So what projects have? Who is the planner that had that interpretation that their projects have
we're
and the other stuff?
We're going to find that out ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because it'd be easier to figure that out. And when did they start working? Because otherwise, before that,
it will.
I can tell all of them were done with that previous interpretation.
They weren't the only one. They were just the one that did it the majority of the time.
Okay. And maybe they kind of brought other people to interpret it that way as well. Because I can say that, you know, in the past, this has never come up until recently. Otherwise, it would be in front of Deeb's. Previously. So, and I'm not, you know, don't want to pick on anybody. It's just, that's not how it was before. And I don't disagree. Yeah. The code language doesn't say one way or the other.
Eric,
and a lot of times.
Eric, we're going to have to present the data because that's what, that is exactly what council has asked for.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Then the data is at a certain date, every project before that followed the previous recommendation.
The data that I more importantly want to show is that with the current interpretation that on any one particular site, you cannot achieve the maximum density without doing something else that increases the cost of the project, i.e. going to four stories or five stories with elevators and what in underground parking, everything that works against housing affordability. That's what I need from you, from this board. That's what is going to make a difference in this, in the eyes of council and and the rest of the planning commission. I'll follow up with everyone in about a week or two to see how far we've gotten. But if we can get something sooner than that, so that when I attend the hearing, just in case this happens to come up again, because you can be guaranteed Friends of Clark County will be there. Maybe we can change it. Maybe we can get them to understand. I'm exhausted.
Okay. With regard to the letter to council, Jamie, I think it makes sense for you to pen that letter and then send it out to the rest of the group. Any other discussion before we move to public comment? Okay. Anyone in the room here have public comment that they would like to provide? Okay, how about online, if you could raise your hand? Okay, seeing none, we will, the next deed meeting will be February 2nd, and that will be the end of this meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Seth.
Sure, Seth. Nice job, Seth.